God. Sing that Lee song. I know that was the blood. Amen.
Praise his name.
Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, let the Holy Ghost move in our hearts this morning. Move over this building this morning and move, Lord, in thy people this morning. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Baptize us afresh, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Oh God, deliver thy people this morning. Lift the scales from off our eyes and from off our hearts in the name of Jesus. And let the power that raised you up from the dead move in the service this morning. And move upon us for thy glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Father God, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For we ask it this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're talking about having a long meeting or short meeting. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I was in meetings where they sung the one course for an hour. I say they sung the one course for a full hour. And the power of God fell in that meeting. And people were prophesying. Everybody could have prophesied. The Spirit of God moved. Real moving with the Spirit of God. You know, the day God's people are sleeping. They're not only sleeping, but they're sleepwalking. And you know, sleepwalking, like in a daze. As soon as you, you know, sort of got into that way of going, sort of got dropped down. No real joy. You need joy. You need joy in your heart. If you've got joy in your heart, it'll put a gladness in you. It'll give you a lift to it. Joy in your heart helps you, you know. And you know, this morning, God wants you to have joy in your heart. And God wants you to have real worship. Worship in the Lord, you know. You hear some of these, I hear some of these stuff at the sing now, and you know, it's like dropped down, it's like retarded. How would I say it? It's maybe not the right way to put it, but it's like an engine that's not running right. A patent engine, it used to be you could retard her or advance her. And you know, if she was retarded, she never could rev right. But you know, if she got it at the right place, she could rev flat out. And you know, God's people seem to be like, sometimes they seem to be like retarded. There seems to be like a brake on them. But you know, I know why that is. The reason that that is today is because of a system. Sleepwalking. It's because of a system. It's because they're half sleeping. Now, I don't mean a physical sleep. I mean a spiritual sleep. But you know, God doesn't want us to be spiritually asleep. God wants us to be awake. And God wants us to be awake to His Word. Now, I'm not going to keep you standing too long. If we turn to His Word this morning, and I want to just get a couple of verses, maybe this morning, from the Psalms, from Psalm 12 and from Psalm 14. Praise God this morning for His mercy and for His grace. God's good, isn't it? Amen. Amen. You know, just want to read a couple of verses in Psalm. You know, people say, you know, the Lord, give me a word. Or people will say to you, the Lord, give me a word. And you know, people sometimes, they get a word from the Lord. And they get a word from the Lord. And maybe in a week or two, they're looking another word from the Lord. And maybe another while, they're looking another word from the Lord. That's all right. God could give you a word every day of the week. But you know, you see, when God does give you a word, the secret is to meditate on what God has given you, and think on what God has given you. God gave Abraham a word. It was 25 years, I think, before it come to pass. But God, Abraham, stayed with that word. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says he staggered not at the promises of God. And Moses was the same. So God could give you a word. And I just want to read, I'm not going to read all the verses here, but if we go to Psalm 12 first and read the verse in Psalm 12 and verse 6. And God gave me this word in August in 91. In 91 I wrote it in my Bible. It was in August 91 that God gave me this word. And this word's as good today as when God first gave it. And you still have the same, you still act on it the same way as when God first gave it. And he says here, in Psalm 12, on verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. A silver tried in a furnace of the earth purified seven times. And that's some thing purified seven times. And verse 7 says, "Thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." And look what he says here. He says, "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Now just let's go over to Psalm 14. To Psalm 14 here. And in Psalm 14 in the 7th verse, in Psalm 14 it says, "Oh, that salvation were come out of Zion. Then the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Let me say this morning, you know, just for a wee second or two. Some people maybe now, it's good if you're a good speller and all that there for to write down notes. Nothing wrong with writing notes. I don't want anybody to hear some this morning maybe to take a misunderstanding. And all, I don't really write notes. I write wee bits here and there. But I don't just write notes as maybe writing out a sermon. Not that there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to do that, if the Lord leads you to do that, that's good enough. But I don't really do it because I'm not a great speller. I can't really spell that well, so then I don't sort of do that. So what I'll come up here this morning now, it's not that I'd have any notes written. I might have a couple of verses wrote down, maybe three verses I have wrote here on maybe something like that there. But my prayer is that the Lord will give me what to say. That I'll say this morning what the Lord wants me to say. And then, you know, if you're going to say something, you need to have inspiration. You need to be inspired to say it. But my inspiration might be all right, but you know, the inspiration that we read is Holy Ghost inspiration. We need to be inspired of God. As the writer said, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." And you know, God doesn't change his mind about his word. God's word's the same today, and in a future to come it'll still be the same. It will not have diminished anything less. It'll not be that it was sort of like if somebody gives you something, a chair, and you use it all the time, or any instrument, or anything that you use all the time, eventually it wears out. But God's word can't wear out. It never wears out, and God will never wear out. You can't. You'll not wear out God. God doesn't wear out. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." You know, seemingly, sometimes you see, I was thinking along the lines of these words this morning, and I was thinking along what the psalmist said here. The psalmist said, "Oh, that salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." Now I was thinking here, and I thought maybe to myself, was David here, he was moved by the Holy Ghost. He was a prophet of God, for by a king, he was anointed of the Holy Ghost, and he spoke these words. Now some people might say that he was talking of the coming of the Messiah. Well, he has talked in a lot of the Psalms about the coming of the Messiah, but I think this here is even farther again. He's actually talking about the restoration and the restoration of Israel and Israel becoming a nation. And he's not only talking about Israel becoming a nation, but he's actually talking of when the Lord comes again. And he's actually talking that when God will set up his throne on the earth here, and he'll rule from Israel. And Jesus Christ, when he comes back, he's going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And his throne is going to be set up in Israel. And he's going to reign from there. Now, you know, this might maybe be mixed up a wee bit, but I want you, if you can, this morning to encourage you, fellas. You hear so much stuff today. Now, I had the misfortune or the opportunity to be at a few funerals this last while and listen some of the stuff that come from the pulpit. I'm not going to really make a whole lot of comments on that there, but I heard a man say, "In death now is their baptism complete." And you know, I thought about it, and they weren't even baptized right in the first place. They were sprinkled. That's the way it's done. Bring it up in a wee bowl, and they dip the water in, they sprinkle the water over them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. That's how it's done. They didn't use the name of the Father. Or they didn't use the name of the Son, or they didn't use the name of the Holy Ghost. Didn't use it. They only used the title. That's all it was used. They didn't even want to even baptize right. Baptized means buried. Right down.
Amen.
And the name of the Father is the Lord. And the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus. So you see, they didn't even use the name. And you know, we've heard it and heard it and heard it so many times, even when the prophet of God said that, he said where he explained it, that, you know, and that was one of the things that came out in the seals, was the truth of water baptism, marriage and divorce, and the different things that came out in the seals. That came out in the seals. Now, some people say we know this, we know something else. They might have had an idea of some of the things, but they didn't really know it until a prophet of God come and spoke it. Now, the thing about it is this. There's so many people today, and they have sort of taken on to them to change some of the things or to add to the things what the prophet of God said. Now, Brother Branham himself said, "Don't change anything on the tapes. Let it be as it was said. Take it the way it said. Don't you start to change it. Don't do it." But you see, we read in the Psalms here this morning about God's word. And we read in Psalm 12, we read at the word in Psalm 12 and verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. So to purify silver, it has to be done 7 times to be purified. And I think gold's something the same. But anyhow, it's a pure word. That word doesn't need anything put to it. You can't add to it. God has said if you add to what's written in this book, he'll add unto you the plagues that are written in it. And he said if you take away from this word, God will take away your part out of the book of life. So you see, there's a seriousness here. There's a warning here. There's a warning, but you see, over the years, people have, you know, you say, just switch back a wee second to the statement I made at the start with a song for an hour. You say, could you sing for an hour? Well, I'll tell you something, if the Holy Ghost come down on you, you could sing for an hour, and it wouldn't seem like an hour.
No.
Well, you certainly could sing for an hour. And now, if you were there where the power of God fell, and you see the miracles of God, it would do something to you. And I tell you something, whenever you seen a man of God that could preach the word of God, and then he could say, "Now, if I have told the truth, God will confirm it to be the truth." And then at that, the Holy Ghost would come on the scene and confirm the word that was spoken. And you know, some people say, "Oh, but that was back then." But it's the same God we're worshipping.
Amen.
It's the same Lord Jesus. It's the same God. So God is able to do the same thing. But you know, sometimes, you know, Satan wants to push you past it, bypass, make you bypass it. And you say, "Oh, well, there's a class of people and they read the Bible and they say, this is for the day. That's for the day. That's not for the day. Not so sure about that. That's not for now. That was for when the disciples were." And you know what? I think the wee story was told about the woman, you know, where she took the Bible and presented it. I've said it before again. She took the minister was leaving and she had bought a new Bible when he come, and when he was leaving, she had come up with this Bible, and she presented him this Bible, and it seemed like only half a Bible. There was a powerful bits cut out of it, and she said, everybody had been giving him gifts and wishing him all the best to go, and she handed him this Bible, and she said, I think it would be a fitting gift for you. And he got the Bible, and he looked at the Bible, and he realized, he says, there was a good part of this Bible missing. She said, that's right. She said, every time that you preached it, you said it wasn't for today. She said, I went home and cut it out of it. She cut out everything that he said wasn't for today. She said, what's the point of having it in it if it's not for today? So she said, I cut it out of it. And she said, I thought it'd be a fitting gift for you. But you know what, it's been cut out that long. People don't realize. And you know another thing. People are trying to make you think you have to do some great thing. Or you have to do some thing, you know, in the day you'll open the paper today. And you'll see maybe where somebody climbed a mountain. He climbs. Now, if you climb mountains, there's no harm in climbing mountains. Don't misunderstand. Don't anybody maybe hear this tape and say, oh, a man thinks he shouldn't climb mountains or he thinks he shouldn't do sport. No, no. That's all right. But if somebody comes along and says to you, well, you'll look in the paper today and you'll see such and one, they climbed a mountain. And such the one, he done such an effect, or he's while back there, somebody, he swam the channel, he swam round the edge from one part to another. It was some feat. And all the maybe expecting, you say, then somebody say, what are you doing it for? Somebody say, well, I done it for charity. But you know, God didn't ask anybody to swim the channel. And he didn't ask anybody to climb a mountain. But you say, mate, well, he might. But that's beside the point. But that there is not going to make you any closer to God. It's maybe not going to take you any farther from him. But you know, the thing that God does require of his people, the thing that God requires of us, is obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Whenever Samuel gave a word to Saul, he said, go down and destroy all the Amalekites, to kill everything. Destroy all, you may say, well, that's harsh. Well, it might be harsh, but that was just, it had to be done what God said. But then, you know, Samuel didn't just come back down at the time that Saul thought he was coming out. And he sort of didn't know what to do. So whenever Samuel did come down, you know, Samuel said, what's this I hear? The bleating of the sheep. But the people wanted them. They didn't want to destroy the best, and they took them. He said, would you have disobeyed God? And he said, I'll not take part with you in the sacrifice. And you know, it says that he caught hold of Samuel by the garment and said, oh, stay, sure. We're having a great time here. We're going to have a real good time here. And there'll be rejoicing, there'll be this, and there'll be something else. But it says that he rent his garment. And when he rent his garment, God gave him an hour. Said he shall rent, says Samuel, said to him, God will rent the kingdom from you and give it to an hour. So you see, you have got to do what God says. You must be obedient to God's word. And you know, somebody said, all of you have done this, have you have done that? All of you have done something else. No. Stay with what God's word says. Don't change anything in God's word. No. Believe what the Lord says. It says, believe his prophets, believe his word, so shall ye prosper. And the Bible says, don't do my anointed any harm. Don't do them any harm. They're real servants of God. But you know, today, you hear so much stuff. You hear like a what is it? It's, you could actually sleep while it's going on. If you were tired, you probably would sleep. And you know, you'll hear a dead sermon. You know, I know what it's like to be in a denomination system. I knew what it was like to be brought up where I had to learn the catechism and say what they called your questions And then you went in the back room and the minister probably meant well enough, good enough man, fine enough man, and then he said to you, will you promise that you live for God? Well, you know, I want to tell you something this morning. Unless you're regenerated by the Holy Ghost, you can't live for God. You'll never live for God unless you've had a birth. You have to have a birth. You have to be born again of the Spirit of God to live for God. Now, you mightn't just live the way you should be living, and sometimes you might do the things you shouldn't be doing, and sometimes you might think the things that you shouldn't be thinking, but remember that God laid a remedy in His Word for you. God made a way for us that you could live for God. And God has made a way for us at your path this morning. You know, I heard a man make a statement. I thought it was a right good statement that he made. And I thought it was good because he said that all these men were in a room and they were talking, and that they were asking the question, what was the difference in the Christian religion and all the other religions of the world? What difference was there? And this man said that a man, he was an English professor or something in some of the colleges in England, but he was a Christian man. I think he said it was a man called C.S. Lewis. Now, I'm not just familiar, but know much about C.S. Lewis. But he come in the room and he was a well-educated man and a Christian man, so they decided to put the question to him. And they said to him, what's the difference in the Christian religion and all other religions? And he says, well, that's a very easy question. And they looked at him and they said to him, what is it? He says, it's grace.
Yes.
Grace. Mm-hmm. Through faith. By grace are ye saved.
Amen.
And not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's God's grace. You know, some people say, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that. God didn't ask you to do this or do that. What God asks you to do is to be obedient to His Word. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God giveth the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. Now, God can't change His mind about His Word. He doesn't change about His mind about His Word. Brother Brown said that God never changed His mind about His Word. He made an all-powerful statement. And I'm going to say this morning what He made this statement. He said, remember that the blood of Jesus Christ always lives there. And you can come under the blood and come to the blood for a cleansing. And you know, if you do something, or if you have done something that's not right, or if you've maybe went back a bit and done something you shouldn't do, don't start to dwell on it, what you should have done or what you shouldn't have done. But go straight to the Lord and get it under the blood. Go straight to God and get it under the blood.
Amen.
Now, the Bible didn't say you're to confess it to me or anybody else. It says you're to confess your sins to the Lord. There's only one who has power to forgive sins, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Although there's a lot of boys today, they would try to make you think that they have power to forgive sins. You know, I heard people talking. I remember one day coming out of an establishment, and I'm saying, I'm glad that there's none of them boys is the Lord. And you know what I said to myself? I actually talked to myself. I said, I'm glad there's none of them boys is the Lord, for there wouldn't be much mercy. You know, people are so hot. They're hard-hearted. And they're hard-hearted and there's no mercy with them. No forgiveness with them. Oh, he done, I'll show him. Oh, she done this, I'll show her. Oh, I'm telling you, I'll sort that boy out. I'll have a prayer talk with that boy, I'll sort him out. You know, I remember one time I was going to say a word to somebody. The Lord only spoke to me. And He said, no, you don't do that. Don't do that. Do what's right. Live right. You know, some people today, you see, and I remember going up to the funeral, and the service was held in the graveyard in Dromore, in the new cemetery up over the hill in Dromore. I just can't remember just who the funeral was. But there's 30 Roman Catholic lads in the town anyway, not naming any of the names. We walked up as a lot of years ago, and I didn't bother taking the motor up. It's just I sort of walked up, for it's not that far a walk up and wasn't that far a walk down. And in the course of walking up, this fellow was walking alongside me as a Roman Catholic. And the man that was being buried had went to the Brian Assembly. And there was a young man in Dromore who had been brought up a Roman Catholic. And he was a Catholic by birth, and he'd been brought up a Catholic. And you know, the Lord had moved on him, and he got saved. And I could remember a good lot of years ago, a rap come to the door, and I went to the door. And here was this young fella standing with a bunch of tracts in his hand. And he looked at me and he says to me, "Billy, I'm giving out some tracts. Would you accept one?" I said, "I will certainly accept one." And I looked at him and I said to myself, "That's not a Roman Catholic." And all. And he says to me, "You know, Billy, I was a Roman Catholic." And I says, I thought you were." And he says, "But the Lord saved me." I says, "Good man." And I said, "Where do you go?" "Oh," he says, "I go to the Brown." I said, "Good man." You know, some people maybe say, "Oh, you go to the Brown, you go to that other crowd for him." You know, somebody may say, "Where do you belong to?" "I belong to the Lord."
"Yes."
"Where do you go?" "I'll go up to Happy Meeting in Scarborough." "Is there many ghosts in it?" "Well, there's a few ghosts in it, all right." "No, it's supposed to be all family, aren't it?" "Well, we are all family. Praise God, we're all brothers and sisters. Every one of us. We're all family. We're all family in here this morning. I don't mean the McKinsey family. I mean every brother, every sister in the building this morning. We're all family. We've all one Father, the Lord Jesus." You know, they say, "Oh, is there many ghosts? Is your wee meeting still going?" "No, I'm still going." But you know, if you say to them, "Could you come along?" It's like somebody, it's like kicking money on them, isn't it? You know, I used to do a job for a boy, and he used to put the money into this horn. Then he closed the horn, then he put it into this horn. He could have done that a dozen times for you to give it to him. And all. I remember one day talking to him, he had changed the money over from horn to horn, and there's an old lad come into the field that I hadn't seen for a good lot of years, and he knew him, and he was standing, and your man was standing, and he's going from horn to horn with the money. And the next thing I saw, a fella just got over on the song like that and ripped it at him and says to me, "Here you are." He says, "What do you have from that there for? Give the money to the man, put it on, put it about like that." He snapped it at him. You know, he sort of was in a state of shock for a wee bit. You know. So some of them, if you put it to them, they sort of like a wee state of shock, you know. You know, some of them can't come. You know why they can't come? They can't come because somebody else may hear that they come. And then another reason why they can't come. They can't come if the Lord doesn't draw them. You know something about the early church? You know what it was? Nobody could join themselves unto them, only whom the Lord joined for them. Couldn't join unto them. They might have come in and supped with them, but they couldn't join for them. Paul talked about them. Paul said they come in to spy out our liberty. You know, we used to have these meetings, as you all probably well know. Probably the most are there in the wee schoolhouse, not far really from here. And you know, they sent a couple of spies down in there, too, to hear what was being preached. And one guy, he reported back and he said there was far too much talk about blood. There was too much talk about blood. And you know, Aaron said, then you see, Aaron, when he come back and he said the thing that really raised them up was there was a ladder box put on the wall outside the door. And that really got them going. He said that really got them going. That sounded all right, didn't it? That's not what got them going. Really, the truth got them going. You know, it says here, we read in this here, it says about the word, the word was, and it says, when the wicked walk on every side, the vilest men are felt. You know, today, our whole country and our nation are sleepwalking. And you know, because they're sleepwalking, they walked into the common market. That's why they got in it, because they were sleepwalking. But you say, brother, that's what's that to do with the gospel? You know, it's to do with the country and the state the country's in. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
No.
And they passed their ungodly laws, and made their ungodly laws, and murdered so many thousands and thousands of unborn children every year. Amen. And then they say that there are people, that they're a righteous people. They're not a righteous people. That's why the state they're in. And that's why God let their enemies rule over them. And you go down and you look this book over, and you look this book, and you'll see that in this book, when Israel done wrong, God delivered them to their enemies because they disobeyed the Lord. You remember now that the Lord said that when you go in to possess the land, you shall not learn any ways of the heathens. You shall not learn their customs. You'll not take any of their daughters to be your sons' wives, and you'll not give any of your sons to them to take them to mingle with them. It says because they'll take you away after their gods. Would you say, Brother Billy, no, this not now. But let me tell you, who would you say was the greatest king in the Bible outside of the Lord Jesus Christ? And probably the greatest king and the splendidest king that reigned and built the temple was King Solomon. And God said he would take the kingdom from him. Would you say, what? Yes, he did. And do you know why God took the kingdom from him? He married. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. And you know what Solomon did? He took the foreign women, the women which the law forbid him to take. He took them. And not only did he take them, but he built the temples for them. And let them worship their gods. And the same time it come, it changed the heart of Israel. And a company that said they were founded on the great, on the truth of the Bible, Queen Victoria was supposed to say that our greatness was the Bible. I wonder if it was. Sometimes when you look at history, you have doubts about it. But I say this morning, you take a country, I was thinking about it the other day, in 1859 in this country, the Bible, God's revival, broke out in Ireland. And God visited this country and visited them with signs and wonders too. They hit that up, they wrote books and took it out of it. People spoke with tongues and prophesied, they wrote books and they discontinued it. They didn't want to talk about it because they didn't have it themselves, so they didn't talk about it.
Yep.
And you know, Brother John said one morning about a certain minister, I'm not naming his name, but a lack of dry hides went around him and got him calmed down. At least the Holy Ghost put it. The Holy Ghost did come on. But at least that he'll come out to say he'd received a baptism or something.
Yep.
They got him calmed down. You see the way it is today, the way things are today, there was Solomon when he done that. But you know, God didn't take the kingdom from Solomon in Solomon's time for the simple reason, because of his father David.
Yes.
And David was a great king in the Bible. But yet with all him being a great king, he still fell into sin.
Yes.
But remember that God forgave him.
Amen.
Remember that God cleansed him from that sin. And remember that same God is the same today. And he's still able to do the same thing he done then. You take it right down through the ages, you come on right down through the ages. And you take it every time that they fell into that, what country would do what they're doing? And what country would be like our country that we have today, that we have murders in government, and we have all this sort of thing, we have the things that they want to do, and they want to bring in their ungodly laws, which the Bible condemns, and all these things. And they set them down, and then they tell you that they're having a wee mission, and they're more now. Some of the churches is coming together, and some man is coming to speak to them and have a time of prayer and see if they can lead people to the Lord. They saved the second chance for Dromore. Dromore wasn't touched in the 1859. It was the only place in the six counties in Northern Ireland that didn't have any quickening in it, was Dromore. I don't know why, but there it was. Maybe at one time the Jesuits used to live in Dromore. They owned that big place up in Dromore. As you go down, look it up the road to your left hand side, that used to belong to the Jesuits, and for some unknown reason they left it overnight. And then there it is, but you see, there's always some reason behind. There's always some thing for that there. Come right down the day, you go down and you speak to some of these boys and you name Brother Branham to them. And you say God sent a prophet in this last day. And you name it to them, boy, I'm telling you, them boy, getting ready. You know, I remember one time we went up to a game fair and these fellas were giving out tracts and giving out books and giving out stuff. And I said to my wife, do you want to see me getting rid of them real quick? And she says, what do you mean? I said, will you see you quicker get rid of them? You know, and some people, you know, now you're giving out tracts and sometimes you have to be a bit persistent with some people. But you can't ram it down their throat, are. But I said I'd get rid of them real quick, and I said to them, oh, I said, do you take a track? I said, well, thank them very much for it. And then we bit more conversation. I says, I see you have a bookstall over there. Says, I have. I says, come on over. So we walked, I see. I says, boy, I'll tell you what I'm looking. I'm looking at a book, I says, called Hazlitt's Two Babylons. It was wrote by a man called the Reverend Alexander Hazlitt. Oh, he said, how about that book here? And he went over and he lifted this book up, and he lifted this book up there and with something, but it wasn't Hazlitt's Two Babylons. And I said, you man, I said, that's not the book I'm looking. Who's that wrote by? Some other man was wrote by. Oh, we don't have that book. No, we don't have it. No. He kept edging back and back and back. He didn't want any more conversation. He didn't want to know about it. He didn't want to know anything about it. Because you're ecumenical. But you say they're preaching the gospel. Boy, did you hear what that man, did you hear what Brother David Nice said about them going in and them speaking in tongues in the card rooms and all? Speaking in tongues, did you hear what they said about it? You hear them speaking in tongues? I remember reading that in books about it. You know, there was the Holy Ghost spell on. But the Holy Ghost done like Brother Branham said there. See, if you didn't know that truth, if you didn't really understand what Brother Branham was saying there, and not get one damn time, you'd be deceived. Real. More real than the people of Israel. And there it was set right down in front of them. Here the same thing, seeing the done thing. Then they say about leading the wee girl to the Lord on the plane. And how she said that she was in the school and learning, that was learning how they received got the baptism and what they done. And all. And there, but she never knew Christ as her Saviour. She never had a birth. Never. And Brother pointed her to the Lord on the plane.
Amen.
I tell you, this is the day and the age. You know, you say, well, bro, what's that they got to do with climbing mountains or swimming mountains? What did Jesus say in the New Testament? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Lord. What were they? Men of renown. Our organization done this. We done such and such. Why we done this or we done that or we done some of our great things. Men are renowned, you know, but there was one thing that there was with them. Their every imagination was evil. And you know, there's a statement in the Bible, when you think of it, it said God said he was sorry that he ever had put them on the earth. But you know, there's the answer about the Christian religion. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Boy, I tell you, where would I be this morning? Where would you be if it wasn't for grace? Grace. Don't underestimate the power of God's word. Don't underestimate God. Don't look at your circumstances, because your circumstances sometimes will try to overwhelm you. But you look at him. Look at the Lord. Look at him. And take his word. Purified, said. Tried in the furnace of the earth. Purified 7 times. Yes, dependable. You can depend on it. Then he says, look at it. All that salvation will come out of Zion. Oh, and he says here, he says, all that salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. And you look today, look, the whole, what other president? Now, I'm not saying that Mr. Trump's, if that's Mr. Trump for me, I'm not saying that the president, I'm not saying now that he's squeaky clean. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that God put him there. What other president was going to restore the embassy into Jerusalem? What other president was going to do it? What other president was done it? They talked about it, but they never done it. And what other didn't they are, well, I'm not naming any names of any president, but didn't one of them come over and say we shouldn't leave the common market, we should stay in it? You know, I asked a man a question one day. He fought in the First World War. And I asked him a question and I said, why did you go to the war? And he said, Billy, we want to fight for freedom and for liberty. This man had been saved. And he said, you know, that we could come home into this country and have an open Bible. And I thought about it. And I thought about all those young men that went, that didn't come home. And I thought about these things. And I was thinking not so long ago about it, and I said to myself, if it was possible. I asked a man this question, not so very. Matter of fact, it was at the funeral I asked him this question. I said, I know we can't do it, but I said, let's say we could bring all the men back today that fought in the First World War, or bring a great company of them back and put them in a room and get up and explain to them the situation of this country today and the state that it's in, and ask them, would they go to fight again? I wonder what they'll say. He said, I don't think one of them would go. That's what he said. An unsaved man. He said, I don't think any of them would go. And I said, look at the laws they have made. And look at the stuff that they have made. And you know, their enemies actually rule them. Their enemies do rule them. But you know why their enemies rule them? And you know why it is? You say, oh, blame the politicians. No. Blame the boys that were preaching. Oh, you say, what? Yes. No truth. No gospel. Works program. No truth. Didn't know anything of the Bible. Never heard any truth. Didn't accept any truth. That's why Why, if they believed the Bible, why would they apostate the Lord that they did? Somebody comes along and they say, oh, I believe the Bible, but they don't do that, they do the opposite. And you know, that wee girl that our brother was talking about here, he said about in the seminary where the boys spoke in the tongues and all and prophesied and done the different works that they'd done. She said the thing about them, they never had any change in their life. She said they were evil men. But you might say that, but somebody I heard from one time, and he tried to explain that, and he said it was hysteria that made them do it. No, it wasn't. You might as well say it was hysteria that parted the Red Sea. Wasn't it? It was God. What did God say? He said, in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Who you see, well, they're not today. They're not today. You know, it says here, I wrote a wee scripture down here, I had it wrote, and the thing I was just looking up this morning, it did the top of my Bible, and I looked at it and I had it wrote down anyhow. And it was in Proverbs 30:5, every word of God is pure. It is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. It's a shield to you. God's word is a shield to you. And you put your trust in Him. But you know, sometimes a lot of things happen. Maybe you find them, you can't understand why they happen. But there's nothing that doesn't happen that's not for a purpose and for a reason. But remember this, that God is in control of everything. That God alone, only what He lets happen can happen. I can't, anything else can't happen. But sometimes when God's people stray away from the truths of God and forget the truths of God and subsidize with something else, then God allows their enemies to have rule over them. And that's what they done. But you hear all the talk about, you hear all the talk, you put on the news and you'll put on the news and all, and you'll hear, oh, we lost billions. Oh, trade will not be so good even. There's a buy on TV there on the news not so long ago. I see me. Only my wife paid for the television, I shoot it. Oh, that'd be the 5-shot into it. Oh, you're looking at me. I tell you, some of the stuff that come on and they said, oh, the price of bread will be this and the price of bread will be that. Someone buy it up and give you a wee cow luck sermon. You're lovely people. I'll not say anything to you in case I offend you. Give them a wee cow luck sermon. Never preached any real Bible to them. Oh, the serpent seed. Oh, that's a desperate thing to tell young people. You wouldn't tell young people that, would you? No, one man admitted to me. He said, then, where are we at? Where are we at? I said, yes, you're in a bad place. Where are we at? You know, God promised to send the Malachi message.
Amen.
God promised. And you know what God said? You know, if you go back into 3, you read, it says, then they that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened unto them. And a book of remembrance is written. And what did he say? They shall be mine in the day that I make up my jewels. And go on down into the next thing and you'll read. He says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet.
Amen.
Before the great and terrible day. You know, some things are said to you. And some things are said to us. And they just seem to go right over us. And we're lost track of it. We don't catch what was said. But let me say this. Remember that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared talking with him. And they were talking with him about the things that were going to come. And the disciples saw the three of them. And their garments shone brighter, it says, on the noonday sun. And you know, you take it down. You know, how many along was it from the Lord went away? Maybe 2,000 years ago or over 2,000 years ago. You imagine now, if we were counting as man counts in time, I don't know what age Elijah was when he was shut up in the chariot, but whatever age he was he 70 or 80, I don't know, just his age. I never really started to think in the Bible to look up to. I'm sure you might be able to find that if you really looked it up and looked at it, you might be able to decipher what age he was. But let's say, just for the sake of talking, say he was 70. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was older, maybe he was younger. But then when the whirlwind and the chariots and the horsemen come down and took him up into heaven, he's been there for over 2,000 years.
Yes.
The oldest man on record in the Bible for living on the earth was Methuselah, wasn't it? When he, what was he, 900 and something? Was it 968 he was? Something like that, that's what he was. And there he was. But you imagine this man has lived longer than Moses. But you see, God changed him and took him up. Or not longer than Moses, but he's lived longer than Methuselah. And you know, no man buried Moses. God buried Moses. But God also took him to heaven. And you see, there he is, there are them men. They're there today. Alive today. Oh, I find that hard to believe. They find a lot of things hard to believe. But you see, with God, God's in control.
Amen.
God's in charge of everything. And you know, there it is. After that he said, oh, the salvation will come out of Zion and bring back the captivity of Israel. There it is. There's their what? Established in Jerusalem. All the nations round Israel, they want to kill Israel if they can. They want to be against Israel. But you know, God delivered us and delivered Israel. Someone said, I don't know why it was John said it, or somebody said it in here. They said the real existence to know that the Bible's true and God's true is Israel, the nation of Israel. And out of all the things that there were, maybe they were almost wiped out. And you know, when Haman would have wiped out the Jews, God raised up deliverance for them. When Hitler would have wiped out the Jews, God delivered them too. And look, the many people were killed. And now you know, it's a strange thing, you know, the Bible, people say it's that sometimes things repeat themselves. And they do, you know. History repeats itself. It's proved that history repeats itself. And you know, may I say this here quickly? Not that it's nothing to do with the message. But you know, Kennedy, when he was president, was told not to go to Dallas. He was advised by his advisor. His advisor was a woman called Lincoln. And she advised him not to go. But he went, and he was assassinated. And the man that succeeded him was called Johnson. He was the man that succeeded Canada. And I think that was 1963 or so, 1960 something. I remember being in a place in Rabour. We used to have an old weight tin, Jim, and I could remember being in it. And they had a wee transistor wireless, and the program stopped for said to bring breaking news. It said the President of the United States has been assassinated. That was what the news said. And you know, Abraham Lincoln, they had caught the boy that assassinated Kennedy was supposed to be caught in a theater, or caught, they were supposed to catch him in some of them places. Now, I just haven't went into all the details just for the sake of time. But the man that succeeded him was Lyndon Johnson. The war was over, the Civil War was over. Abraham Lincoln was the president. And he decided he would go to La Play. And some of his advisor advised him not to go. And his advisor was a man. And he was called Kennedy. And he advised Abraham Lincoln not to go. But Abraham Lincoln said he would wait till the play had started, and then he would slip in quietly at the thing. So he did. He went to the play. And while he was in the play, a man by the name of Booth jumped down to the balcony and shot Abraham Lincoln. So the man that succeeded Abraham Lincoln was called Johnson. Is that not history repeating itself? Now I'm not going to say too much more, but we don't say this in England. You have him and again in England. Oh, boy, don't come over that again. Oh no, it's right. Anti-Semitic. Against the Jews. Against them. You know, salvation's all the Jews. Paul said the gospel that was committed to him was the same gospel that was committed to Peter. It was the same gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ come. He blinded the Jews what to do to take a Gentile bride. He blinded them. But you see, they got that far out from the truth and they got that far out from what was right. God sent a prophet again to restore them back. But they turned every way. Very few followed that road that that prophet brought. They've turned this way and turned that way and turned some other way. But he said, stay. Don't change it. Stay with the word. Stay not only, he says, I point you to Jesus. Stay with the word. So he said, oh, that salvation will come out when it will be restored out. What will it be? It will be a great thing. It will be something great. It will be something mighty. And you know, what's the hope of any right-thinking man? I say it again, I've said it many times. The coming of the Lord is the only hope of any right-thinking person. And you see, really, what I'm trying to talk to you about is world events. Things that are going on every day. Scriptures that are being fulfilled. Things that are taking place that are foretold in the Bible. And these things. And what did he say? Paul says, in the last days, there'll be boasters. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. Oh, you know I'm 16 now or I'm 18 now. You're not for telling me what to do. No, you're not. Why have you touched me? I have the authorities on you right away. I would have liked me saying to my dad, I was going to tell him what to do when I was 16 or 17. I know what would have happened to you. You wouldn't have been telling him that. You would have wakened up and you'd have come to yourself. You know, some people say, oh, it's all changed now. Oh, it is, certainly. Rock-a-bye, baby. Come on. Rock you back and forth. We chat-nip over you. You're dead on. You're not too bad. There's worse than you. There's people doing worse things than that. You're all right. You're all right till you come to the time that the man, that the old colored man said to Brother Branham, I didn't want any trouble when I come down to the river. You're all right till there. You're all right when you go out into the lost eternity, you can't come back. Why the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. But the Lord hath what laid on him the iniquity of us all. Boy, you see there's grace, free offer of grace. Do they want it? No, they don't want it. You know when Jesus come and said, come on with me, he said, I can't go. Go to the highways and the byways, compel them to come in. Can't come in. I've only got married. I'm going on the honeymoon. I bought a yoke of oxen, don't know why they work or not. I need to try them before I have them too long. Need to just can't do it. Do you remember this? It says that if the good man in the house had known what hour the thief would come here and watch. But it says he came in an hour, not in his house. He wouldn't have suffered his house to be broken up. But he came in an hour when he was not aware. You know what God says? He'll appoint that man as portion with a hypocrite. That's what he says. Says there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But you say, brother, this is my children and this or that are. This isn't like how you set your mind on God and keep your thinking on God. And don't you look at what you see, you look to God, and God will change things. God's the one who says, I am the Lord, I take
Amen.
Not. Says, call unto me and I'll answer thee. I tell you this morning, oh, that salvation will come out of Zion. Says Israel. And Israel, look away, Israel is today. Israel's, they're expecting something to happen. Brother Abraham said, keep your eyes on the king of the north. Look at the king of the north doing with them today. What's he doing? He's laughing at them. Oh, we'll put the sanctions on, we'll put the sanctions on, we'll sanction this, we'll sanction that. Sanctions on. Nonsense. Sanctions on. Look at the sanctions. What sanctions did they put on here, on a bunch of guys here, that took into their hands to kill and murder? What did they do with them? Put them in government. Put the sanctions on. Put the sanctions on. You know, a man told me the other day. I was at a funeral, we happened to be talking. Or said, I know a fella, he's a bus driver down the south. There's some big area all full of buses for to pick people. A whole area, I don't know many buses he didn't have in it. 40 or 50, whole lot of buses. They were going to bus all the people out to Phoenix Park or out to wherever the master said. He says, to the man in the U. He says, the U's too. We used to, the rest was sitting. Didn't need them. You know, people's beginning to, some people that you think is beginning to wise up. Some people is beginning to wise up. Didn't your man say, didn't brother say, here was a very civil man. Oh, he's still by, all right. Get some of them bikes from the country he comes from. You know, am I civil or not? You can't you? We're at the end time. Our eyes needs to be fixed on the Lord, not on the vents round about us. These vents must be. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. There's a reason for all these things, and God wants us to know about these things. And I don't think we've been in the state that we're in if ministers and churches had been more faithful. Or the minister, I needn't say churches, they're not churches, they're actually lodges. The Lord, you know, the angels were a bit poor upon for calling them churches. Said, don't call them churches, call them lodges.
Amen.
There's only one church. One church.
Amen.
Blood wife.
That's right.
Only one that come from his side. The bride was taken out of his side. The bride was taken out of Adam's side. Eve was taken out of Adam's side. Second bride come out of his side. You know, that's sometimes that goes over people's heads. Brother Brown said when he saw Tucker, he found she was pregnant with an RC. In the same council. You follow it, it's perfect. Right down to this day and this age. And all, you know, they say, oh, someone say, how do you know who took the mark of the beast? Why, it's not by heart to know who took it. No, it's not be a hard thing to know that. A whole lot of them already have got it. And people say, oh, well, I don't know. Don't know this, don't know that. Well, look at what your Bible says. It said no one could buy nor sell, said they had the mark or the number of his name. No one could buy nor sell, said they had the mark or the number of his name. It says he caused all on the earth to small and great. And it said there's going to come a time they'll wonder whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundations of the world. A far away from these things. I don't think we're far away from them. I think all these things are close. You know, the people, oh, I heard that years ago. Oh, I remember saying one day, the man is talking to the man, he says, the Pope's the Antichrist, you know. Oh, the man had that talk, he says, I heard that all years ago. Yeah, he went down again, so he didn't rouse his companions in the mud. And you know what rouse in the mud. Down had an hour dip in it. Had an hour dip. There's only one fountain you can dip into between.
Amen.
That fountain's opened in the house of David for what?
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ. Who are fount I know? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, maybe it's a wee bit mixed up this morning. But let's say this morning, when time's gone, what time is it coming? Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful part, Lord. Forgive me now. I didn't mean to go as long. Praise the Lord. Maybe you want to come with Gary or what? One here.
Praise the Lord, I'm not taking no time, but that's alright. No
word but time. Amen. It's good to hear these things, isn't it? Praise God, and it's good to know where we are. And you know, I really believe God did send a real message. What the devil wants people to do is see all the bad side of it, what's going on. Keep you away from it. But God sent it for a reason, because it's the truth. It's a sign. Do you realize it's the last super sign?
Yeah.
The Messiah sign. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We've saw the Messiah sign. That last sign before the coming of the Lord. Promised in the Bible. The whole outside to Elijah the prophet. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. The Lord's coming. And that's the main thing. To be ready for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, Brother Guy's going to come less down. I'm not going to take no time. But let's come tonight again. Praise God. And maybe the Lord leads tonight. I want to preach about the true church. I know I've preached it before, but there's one true church.
Amen.
And there's only one entrance in.
Yes.
Born into it.
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord bless each one as a brother guy comes. God bless you.
God bless you.
I'm not sure if there's many people in the front.